Dear God, we come to you now and we ask that you just speak directly to us, dear Lord. The message that you have prepared for each one of us, let us hear it and let us go out and live it. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Uh-oh, I hit a button already. Look, there we go. All right. So we are going to go through one more parable today. This is one maybe doesn't get spoken about too many times or taught on too many times. It's the parable of the old garment. And we are right in the middle of Jesus's where he's healing a lot. And there's been some discussion whether it's right to do it on a Sabbath. And the Pharisees are just, boy, they're on top of him. And they are noticing that people's lives are being changed. People react differently to the wisdom and to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, when you meet the truth, it is the truth. And so today we're going to talk about the old garment. And there's several things that we need to pull out of this. It's one that probably doesn't get taught on too many times, but there's some really critical teaching that goes on here in this parable. All right, I'm out of Matthew 9. I'm in the 14th chapter. It says, then the disciples of John came to him. This is John the Baptist. And why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? So just to give you a little insight to what's being said here, is back in this day, you know, the bridegroom was with his family, and then he would leave and go live with the other family, okay? And I'm sure there's some mourning that would go on when you leave. Practically someone moves out of the house. I've kind of been dealing with that all summer. I've got a daughter going to SIUE here in several days. And my wife, I can speak a little bit about my wife. She's in the nursery this morning. I don't think the volume in there works. All right. So I'm a little bit more bolder today than normal. All right. So she had proclaimed way back in May that this was going to be the summer of her and Tori. She was just going to soak up all the Tori she could this summer. Well, Tori hasn't been home since she said that. All right. Tori comes home just long enough just to change clothes, and we have a little saying at our house, thanks for visiting. All right. So Tori has not let her mom soak up much of her this summer. So I know a little bit about the mourning process. And this is even before the bridegroom has gone, we've been mourning here, all right? So this scripture kind of spoke to me a little bit, all right? And but you know what? A little bit of teaching here, because we live in the days of these cell phones. Anybody got one of these? All right? Yeah, all right. So here's the thing. We spend too much time on those things. I'm talking to Aaron P. today, too. And we don't live in the here and now. We miss some critical times. We miss the experience of being there with one another, the experience of our families, the experiences of stuff. And I'm preaching to Aaron. All right? So just a little advice from your pastor who loves you. Put the phones down and be in the here and now. Amen? Okay. All right. So that's the teaching that's going on here. So we have the disciples of John the Baptist and coming and asking, why don't your disciples fast? Why aren't they as dedicated to the law as we are? And even the Pharisees, okay? Pharisees, of course, were the leaders and upholders of the law. And here we are determined and devoted disciples of John the Baptist, and we do our fasting as well. But you claim to be someone greater than John the Baptist, and yet your disciples don't fast. What's going on here? And he tells them, well, there's no mourning if the bridegroom's still with you, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast. Then they will do what's required of them, all right? So here's the thing. Sometimes we look in other... Everybody do this real quick, because I'm getting ready to hurt you a little bit, okay? Assume the position. We look in other people's yards, okay, before we get our yard all cleaned up. And sometimes the other side of the fence is a little greener. You know why? Because they've got pure fertilizer on that grass over there. You know what I'm saying to y'all? Okay? All right. So sometimes we look in others' backyards and we don't take care of what's going on in our yard. All right? So let's just do some teaching here. So John the Baptist, there were still disciples of John the Baptist at this time. It's not a bad thing, but John the Baptist's ministry was over. He had done what he had been called to do. And he was the proclaimer, the one going out to say, hey, the Christ is coming. You know, prepare to be forgiven of your sins, declare yourself a sinner, admit your sin, and we'll baptize you, okay? And we'll be prepared for the Christ, all right? Which is a tough thing, because if you think about John the Baptist was the man on the scene, right? And then when Jesus showed up, what did he have to do? He had to step back and let him have it. What would have happened today? The wrong person would have been called. Been up there elbowing, trying to, no, keep looking at me, keep looking at me. But there were still disciples who were loyal to his ministry. And here's the thing, is that Jesus Christ is there in the flesh, and they're still kind of loyal to John the Baptist over here. And listen, this can happen to us, is sometimes unwittingly we can become loyal disciples of things that aren't Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is right here with us. Amen? And we devoted ourselves to something else. And it seems kind of right, feels kind of right, but it's not Jesus Christ, is it? So they are kind of off, dedicated to John the Baptist, and yet here is Jesus Christ right there in the flesh. And they were strict, they were great, and they were humble in spirit. So here we had people who were actually coming, who were humble in spirit, saying, hey, why aren't you guys fasting the way you're supposed to fast, okay? They were humble in spirit, but guess what? The Pharisees, they weren't humble in spirit. They were doing things from a proud stance, all right? I read a book this week about the trials at Auschwitz, the Nuremberg trials, and it took us all the way up to the execution of those guys, and some of those guys to the bitter end were standing proud and still locking their, doing the boot thing right before they tied their boots up and stuff, to the bitter end, all right? And then there were those who wrote letters to their family and said, how could I have been so dedicated to something that was so wrong? And you don't waste your life. Do your life according to love. Go out and make a difference in the sunlight, is what one of them, Karl Marx, wrote. And it's just amazing how just from the motivation of your soul, what a difference the works that you do, the way you interact with people, the way that we minister, the way that we serve, the way that we love and forgive, just the very motivation of your soul makes a world of difference. The reasons why you do things are critical, and they're critical especially in our type of service. And listen, I say this all the time, is if you come here out of obligation, that's one thing, but if you come here out of ready to serve the Lord and to glorify Jesus Christ, that's a difference-making kind of work right there, and that's where we need to be. In the numbers, if we could get a whole bunch of people, that's great. But even a few people working with the right type of motivation makes the right type of difference in a dark world. Amen? And that is because not of who they are or how many there are, but because of who we serve, and it's Jesus Christ, and He is the all-powerful Son of God. Amen? Amen. All right. So that's the difference here. It wouldn't be right for Jesus' disciples to imitate the Pharisees because they come from, you know, proud stance. And guess what? It's not right that they imitate the disciples of John, because John the Baptist, they were humbly preparing for the arrival of Jesus' ministry. And guess what? He already arrived. And what's the teaching here? Sometimes we miss the boat. Sometimes it's standing in front of us. It's like the, I don't want to offend any of you ladies over the age of 50, but it's kind of like a Hallmark movie. True love has always been there. You just never noticed it, right? Here's the thing. Jesus Christ is always here. We just don't notice it sometimes. Amen? All right. There's your Hallmark comparative to Jesus Christ. You can check that one off the list that you've never heard before, right? Okay? Fasting was not abolished by the law. And here's the other thing. Times of trials and also I need you to hear this. Times of trials are also times of humiliation. Amen? They beat us down. And the only way you get through that thing in the right kind of way is, guess what? Not by your own strength, but through the strength of Jesus Christ. Okay? And neither good times nor bad times last. There is a season for everything, is what the Bible tells me. All right. And right here he likens it to a marriage feast Christ does, because guess what? Those ended too. They were good times, and they ended too. And then there were a lot of emotions, I'm sure, that happened after that. All right? I can't imagine after when Tori gets married. I'll be sure I'll be happy at her wedding, but probably the second I leave, I'll be like, oh, that no good scoundrel stole my daughter. I had to get up there and act like I was giving them to her. All right. I better settle down. I'm going to get in trouble. All right. 16. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Because this, guess what? When it shrinks, what's it going to do? Pull. And if that garment's old, what's it going to do? Well, it says it pulls away from the garment and it tears it and makes it worse. All right. Anyone ever had... I think that was more popular up to the 80s. I think after the 90s, you were actually proud of the tears in your jeans, right? Anybody ever have to wear a patch on your jeans? There's a story about my papa and Aunt Bernice having to take their biscuit for lunch, and they put the sack up in the windowsill, right? And in the wintertime, the air would blow, and I'm sure it wasn't a very insulated window, and their biscuit would freeze. And my Aunt Bernice, being a proud lady, would hide her biscuit under the, she'd hide it and put her hands around it, try to thaw it out. Not Cecil Ray. He slammed that frozen biscuit up on the desk and just dared anyone that's asking about his frozen biscuit, why he had a frozen biscuit, okay? So, you know, I think if you ever wore a patch, you know what I'm talking about. And you try to make that thing as look as closely as it could. This is before the acid wash jeans and all that stuff going on now. Now it's like, you paid good money for those jeans. There's less there than there are jeans. You paid for less than you are. Never mind. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, because it'll break. The wine will spill. It'll be ruined and wasted. All right? So here's some critical teaching right here. This is the gospel being preached right here. All right. They put new wine into new wineskin, and both are preserved. I'm gonna read that to you one more time, because this is good right here. Okay. They put new wine into new wineskin. Both are preserved. We aren't the old. We're still sitting around this old skin. But spiritually, we've been made new. We've been made new. And there's new wine poured into us. We are no longer old wineskins. We're new. It's all been made possible by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ at Calvary. It changes us. We can no longer, listen, this is, we can no longer reflect the old us. We have to be the new us. We have to go out and live it and serve it and reflect the Christ who made us new wineskin. All right? We have to reflect that in our lives. Are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to be hypocritical? Yes. But we have to be forgiving and loving and serving. And we have to do it with pure motivations, because that is critical to the point and to the cause of who we serve and how we serve. Amen? What is old and stagnant sometimes cannot be renewed or reformed. This is just an absolute teaching to the church. You can't let your church, your family get stagnant, old and stagnant, because sometimes it can't be revived. All right? We have to keep things proper. All right? Sometimes we can be taken away and strayed away. Just like the disciples of John. Jesus Christ was right there, but they didn't see him. All right? Here's the way. Here's how you know what's right. First of all, it's centered on Jesus Christ, and it's biblically correct. All right? And that is where we need to stay always in what we do. We need to stay just devoted disciples to Jesus Christ and to His Word. And God will always be looking for new vessels. And if you haven't claimed your ministry and you haven't gone out and done the things that you're supposed to do, guess what? You can be the newest ministry on the block. And it's time that we go out and we preach the Word to the lost, so that we are constantly finding new vessels that help us go out and preach the Word to the lost and help us find new vessels. See what I'm saying? Do some application. Jesus Christ came to offer and to bring new life. We are no longer swallowed up in our sins. We are new creations designed and created by the blood, the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. Never forget that, because once we take that for granted, then we forget the purpose of Easter, and then it becomes just one day of the year. Easter is each and every morning we wake up and we proclaim that we have been made new by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we go out and we live as resurrected creatures designed and created and saved through Jesus Christ. You know that when we get to heaven, there'll be a song that will be sang, and it will only be sang by us. The angels will not be able to sing it. You know why? Because it is the song of the redeemed. And only we will be able to sing that. Won't that be wonderful? To be singing the song of the redeemed in heaven? He did not come to patch the old, the broken us, but to make us new. And He replaces the law. The best way that I can explain it is He came like an acorn. Okay, the acorn goes into the ground, and what does it do? Grows into a tree, a new creature. Amen. Aren't you thankful that you don't have to be the old wineskin anymore? Aren't you thankful that you don't have to wear the patches anymore? Aren't you thankful that you've been made new? Well, that's what we need to celebrate each and every morning through our living and through our serving. We are different. We're different than the angels. We're different than the world. We are serving, loving, forgiving. And we do it all for the glory of Jesus Christ, because that's what makes our ministry work. For the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen? Neutrality is not an option. Complacency is not an option.
Thank you for tuning in to Star Church's sermon. We truly hope that the sermon edified you today and brought you closer to the Lord. For more information about Star Church, visit our website at stargbchurch.com. Once again, that's stargbchurch.com. And if you would like to visit our church, our address is 4925 State Road 142, El Dorado, Illinois 62930. We now pray that God will bless you as you enter the mission field and bring His Word to the world. And as always, we will see you next time here at Star Church.